Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's hump day. So why does it feel like frump day? Are you barely making it through the week with no energy to speak of? That's all about to change. Welcome to Transforming Health with Brad King. Get ready to live with the vitality, youthfulness, and abundant energy you've always dreamed of. Now, here's your host, Brad.
Hey everyone, welcome to another fantastic Transforming Health. Why are so many people sailing at half mast these days, and worse yet, how many of them have been living that way for so long? Well, they don't even remember what optimal health and vitality even feels like anymore. You know, too many individuals suffer from a condition, and it's the condition of acceptance. They're guilty of accepting their less than healthy status as the way it is. Well, unfortunately, they just don't know any other way to be. Well, not anymore. Welcome to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King, your host. And this is, as you know, the platform that helps change lives one body, one mind at a time. Everywhere we turn these days, white flour and cornmeal-based products like bread and cereal and baked goodies and corn chips, I mean, these are the staples of our diets. These line our grocery shelves. We're taught from childhood through our trusted food guides that if we want to experience true health, so to speak, we should consume anywhere from 6 to 11 servings of foods like bread and cereal, don't forget the rice and obviously the pasta. So the question is, what's wrong with those guidelines, especially if we've been brought up to believe by our governments that this is the way to eat? Well, everything, if you're the average person who doesn't engage in strenuous exercise and or athleticism. The reason being is that the majority of us were never designed. I'm going to say that one more time. The majority of us were never designed to eat the types and the amounts of carbohydrates that we've become accustomed to consuming since the advent of agriculture, and that was only about 8,000 years ago. Significant anthropological data suggests that our Paleolithic ancestors, which happened to be a lot healthier than we are today, ate a diet that consisted anywhere from 19 to 35% protein, 22 to 40% carbohydrates, and anywhere up to 47% fat. And since the human genome hasn't changed, as a matter of fact, it's only basically changed less than 0.02% in over 40,000 years, I would suggest that these same principles that governed our ancestors' biochemistry, well, guess what? They still govern ours. In today's day and age, we seem to eat as many of the wrong types of carbohydrates as possible, and the majority of North Americans consume more than 50% of their dietary intake in the form of highly pressed and nutrient-void foods. And these are the same ones, by the way, that are responsible for robbing us of our health today. Today on Transforming Health, should we be eating a lot more like our ancestors, especially if we want to obtain true health? Everything you ever wanted to know about one of the most important dietary needs for modern humans. We're talking about Paleolithic nutrition today, or as my guest is going to tell you, the primal blueprint. Today's guest is a health researcher and a leader in the Paleolithic health movement, or the diet of early man, if you will. He's a best-selling fitness author and a blogger and a former distance runner, triathlete, and Ironman competitor. Please welcome the author of the mega best-selling book, The Primal Blueprint. We have the one and only Mark Sisson with us today. Mark, how you feeling?
I'm feeling excellent, Brad. How about you?
Good, good. Who airbrushes your photos? That's my first question.
No airbrushing involved at all. That's me. I wish I could do something about the face. I'm 58 years old, and you know, I got the body of a 27-year-old and the mind of a 17-year-old, but sometimes the crow's feet creep up a little bit.
Hey, you know, that's life, and the beautiful thing is at least you haven't been told that you have a face for radio yet.
That's right.
that's when you really have to start panicking.
Yep.
So why don't we start off? Give us a little synopsis of this thing that's become a phenomenon, if you will. I mean, it's taken over. Everybody's talking about Paleolithic nutrition, primarily your book, The Primal Blueprint. That's what kind of started this overall craze, if you will. What is The Primal Blueprint all about?
Well, the Primal Blueprint is really about attaining the best possible health and fitness that the individual can achieve with the least amount of pain, suffering, and sacrifice possible. I mean, that's really it in a nutshell. This is about identifying the clues that we get from evolutionary biology and applying them to modern genetic science so that we can actually influence how our genes rebuild, renew, regenerate, and recreate us on a day-to-day basis. With the understanding that even if we're in poor health, even if we're in our 40s, 50s, 60s, even if we come from a family history of not so great genetic past, that we can improve our health into the next several decades by simple lifestyle behaviors and simple food choices that emulate a hunter-gatherer experience. Now, you touched upon that earlier in the intro, but the truth is, we do have the genes that expect us to be hunter-gatherers. And when we don't give our genes the signals that they're expecting, they can sometimes turn against us and cause type 2 diabetes and obesity and cancer and arthritis and,
right,
and heart disease. It's really that simple. So we just have to kind of find those clues.
So Mark, here's the thing. I mean, what you're talking about is our genes are nothing more than blueprints. And we build this, you know, unique life experience, whatever that experience is, upon those blueprints because of our dietary choices, our lifestyle choices, the environment in which we choose to live in. So, you know, let's talk about that right off the bat. You talk about changing your genes. That goes over a lot of people's heads to begin with. A lot of people still have the mindset, and I'm sure you come up against this quite a lot, where they say, wow, this is really interesting information, Mark, but, you know, there's always the but. I've got heart disease. I've got a lot of obesity in my family. So really, at the end of the day, I can expect to be those people that came before me. What do you have to say to those people?
Well, again, you know, we're talking about genes, which are the recipe for making a human being. And that recipe, typically, if you put the right ingredients into the recipe, you'll come up with a happy, healthy, lean, strong, fit individual. Those, all the things that we want. The genes are basically, you can consider them little on-off switches or sets of information that build proteins that actually run the body. But these on-off switches need something to prompt them to turn on or off. And they take cues from the environment around them. And these cues might be, again, types of foods we eat. You know, if you eat lots of processed industrial oil with the high in omega-6, you will turn on genes that cause inflammation.
Right.
If you cut back on the amount of simple sugars you take in, you'll turn off the genes that would normally be causing you to become insulin resistant or type 2 diabetic. We can selectively turn on or off many of the genes that operate the metabolic machinery in us with the idea that, well, okay, if I can make the right selections, I can achieve my ideal body composition. I'll have all the energy I need all the time. I won't get sick, maybe ever, and I'll enjoy my life.
So it's really multifactorial. It's not simply you don't follow a Paleolithic plan like the Primal Blueprint just to lose weight, even though that may be the reason why you enter into it. There's all these things that happen in a very positive way from following what the diet of early man was, correct?
Absolutely. In fact, as we've gone down this road for the last 5 years with the Primal Blueprint, and as we've had more and more people come on board, and now it's into the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, one of the recurring themes is, I got into this for my health. Oh, by the way, I lost 50 pounds or 75 pounds or 125 pounds, but I got into this initially because my doctors basically put up a red flag and said, look, if you don't change something, you're going to die. And so what we decided is that health is always the first reason that you adopt this strategy, this program. And from there, all these other things fall into place. Your body composition tends to proceed toward an ideal body composition. Your energy levels increase, as I say, your immune system improves, your mood improves, all aspects of your life tend to get better.
So Mark, this isn't really, we're not talking about rocket science here. We're not talking about a stringent protocol. Are you a believer in dieting, per se?
Oh, not at all. Diet is probably the thing that holds most people up when they're attempting to achieve optimal health
right.
in conventional wisdom.
So is there calorie counting on your system?
No, not really. This is about eliminating bad foods. And once you get rid of the particularly the sugars and the grains and the industrial oils, you're left with a long list of really, really tasty foods, meat,
right.
fish, fowl, eggs, nuts, seeds, vegetables, some fruit. And I say you can eat all you want whenever you want from that long list of foods. Initially, people go hog wild sometimes. They go, well, wow, I can eat all I want. But what we're trying to do is we are trying to literally reprogram the genes away from your dependence on carbohydrate and sugar as a main source of fuel and back to your original factory setting at birth as an efficient fat-burning beast. When we take this, and this is the essence of my new book, The 21-Day Total Body Transformation, it takes about 21 days to upregulate those genes, those enzyme systems that are involved in fat metabolism, and to downregulate those that are so dependent on sugar and carbohydrate and eating every 3 hours or else you
right.
get low blood sugar. And the end result is that you create this lean, fit, happy, healthy, fat-burning beast that derives most of its energy on a day-to-day basis from your stored body fat. Well, when you can always access energy from your stored body fat, now you can go 4, 5, 6 hours, 12 hours, a whole day without eating and without getting hungry.
Yeah.
And without sacrificing, you know, your blood sugar or your mental acuity or your mood, because all of these things now have been trained to depend more on a predominantly fat-burning system.
Yeah, and a lot of people, I don't think, really understand that, right? Because, I mean, let's face it, a third of women, a quarter of men are on diets at this very moment. You know, this is a fad diet world we live in, and a fad diet is nothing more than a short-term solution. What you're talking about is really just getting back to the basics, doing things that looking at the manual, and the manual says you have to fuel the body this way in order for it to run at peak efficiency, and if you don't, it's still going to run, it's just not going to run at peak efficiency, and it's eventually going to break down. Is that it in a nutshell?
No, absolutely. The good news, bad news is that the human body can survive on some pretty nasty stuff, and I think our current civilization is pretty much testament to that. But there's a big difference between surviving and thriving.
Right.
The human genome was, you know, evolved over 2.5 million years to thrive on a diet that's high in natural fats and natural forms of animal protein and plants, and basically includes no refined carbohydrates, simple sugars, industrial oils, and so on. If we give our genes what they expect of us, what that recipe expects, that recipe will create the lean, strong, fit, happy, healthy human that we all want to be. But if we give it the wrong sorts of inputs, if we give it the processed flours and grain foods and simple sugars and industrial oils, we create an entirely different manifestation of that recipe. The recipe
right.
doesn't turn out.
And Mark,
the way we
there's really
it.
No getting away from that, is there? I mean, what we're talking about is the law of human physiology. This is the way it is. It's either we're designed to take in a specific nutrient and utilize it, or we're not. And I think the majority of the population are from the not clan, where they're taking in all of these fuels, as you mentioned, that are pure garbage, and it's a testament to how incredible the human body really is to be able to even deal with that crap.
Yeah, so what happens is many of us survive on terrible choices on processed grains and sugars and industrial oils and you know we still live, we survive, and then we get to an age where we start to get sicknesses that arrive as a direct result of the food choices, and then we deal with them by taking medications and drugs
exactly.
to keep us alive.
yeah,
well,
taking
not
one
thriving
medication
in my book.
To mask
my,
another
you know, my,
medication.
My idea here is that we should honor these hunter-gatherer genes, this recipe that exists within all of us. We should reaccess this efficient fat-burning beast that lives in all of us. We should support the immune system. We should, you know, there's no reason that anyone should ever get type 2 diabetes. No reason at all.
It is one of the most reversible conditions you can ever get.
You're right. I don't even like to call it a disease because I think it is a condition. Because I think unless you've been diagnosed type 2 diabetic for so long that you've exhausted your beta cells in your pancreas, you can completely reverse type 2 diabetes, get rid of it, and never have it again as long as you eat the appropriate foods. Never have to depend on meds. I mean, we have a lot of people who embark on the Primal Blueprint eating strategy, and one of the first things that happens is their blood sugar normalizes.
Right, right. And I think another big part of that is how many people are in pain walking around. I'm talking about just everyday people, not people in chronic pain, because that's a whole different scenario where the body's broken down to a specific point, and now, you know, there's a big condition that's occurred. That can still be reversed. But what about the people that are dealing with the aches and pains of everyday living, the osteoarthritis, the wear and tear of the joints, popping things like ibuprofen like it's candy? I mean, if you eat the way that you're professing here, inflammation shouldn't even occur to that degree.
That's correct. In fact, you know, I was an example of someone. This is how I came to this epiphany about 12 years ago for myself. I mean, I'd been starting down this road of eating primally about 30 years ago, but I sort of held on to the last vestiges of my natural right, my God-given right to consume grains, because I'd been an endurance athlete most of my life. I'd been a marathoner. I'd lived on whole wheat pasta, whole wheat bread, cereals, and things like that. Even though I'd read all of this negative stuff about grains in my research, I sort of go, well, you know, I'm pretty much a grain eater. I'm okay with that. I'm not suffering from all these ills that I read about. I don't have Crohn's and irritable bowel syndrome and celiac or any of these other overt manifestations of a serious problem with grains. But I thought, well, I've read all this research. Maybe I'll give up grains for 30 days and see what happens.
Right.
Well, it was unbelievable. The arthritis that I had that I thought was a natural effect of just getting older disappeared. The irritable bowel syndrome.
You know what, Mark? Let's hold it right there. Let's go out for our first break. Come back. We'll have a little more time in the second segment here. We have so much to discuss today. We're talking about the 21-day total body transformation. We'll get to that a little later. You'll want to get your pen and pad of paper out to take notes. We're talking about reprogramming, literally reprogramming your genes for effortless weight loss, vibrant health, boundless energy. We've got the author of the Primal Blueprint with us, and we will be back, so don't go anywhere.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner.
Take us on the go. It's even easier now. The Voice America Talk Radio Network has launched our mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market to download the app powered by Aircast. It's free and no registration is necessary. In minutes, you could be enjoying your favorite Voice America Talk Radio host, no matter where you are, in the car, out and about, while traveling, or anytime you can't be close to your computer. Catch up on the archives you've missed or discover new shows on the spot. Search Voice America at your favorite app store.
Mark your calendar and set an alarm so you do not miss the highly acclaimed talk show, Holistic Living with Tina Marie and Todd Allen. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific for inspirational, oftentimes edgy discussions on all that life brings our way. With celebrity guests, world-famous authors, and everyday people dedicated to sharing positive, uplifting messages, Tina Marie and Todd Allen bring you the very best in talk radio discussions, guaranteed to make you smile.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey everyone, welcome back to a very, very interesting show today. You know, there's no doubt that carbohydrates have the potential to add important calories and nutrients to our diet. No one's saying that they don't, but people were not made to eat processed foods of any kind, especially carbohydrates. And processed carbohydrates, we're talking about things like refined grains, they wreak havoc with our hormonal systems, and they do contribute greatly to the overall aging process and our fat storing potential. And some researchers even linked modern grains, especially wheat, to many potential health problems, including obesity, arthritis, gastrointestinal difficulties, headaches, and even things like depression. And we have to understand that grains have only been in existence for, let's say, maybe 10,000 years at the most, and we do share the same bodies, genetically speaking anyway, with our prehistoric ancestors going back millions of years, so it's really no big surprise, or at least it shouldn't be, that many of us are not genetically able to metabolize those kinds of foods properly. And in spite of a lack of today's comforts, I mean, early humans were very healthy. There's fossilized remains that have shown that prehistoric ancestors were very strong, robust. They didn't suffer nearly from the same diseases that we did. So just, you know, what's different? What's different is what we're eating today compared to what we ate going back thousands of years ago when the human genome was actually developing. So just what did early humans eat? Well, for starters, a diet very different from what we're eating today, and that's what we are going to discuss next. Please welcome back the author of the mega best-selling book, The Primal Blueprint. We have Mark Sisson with us. And Mark, great information on the opening segment of Transforming Health. But let's dispel some of the myths, if you will, or perhaps maybe the criticism, because let's face it, there's a lot of criticism out there, not only from the lay public, but also the scientific community when it comes to eating like our prehistoric ancestors, and mostly because it goes against almost everything that we've been taught about nutrition. So, you know, let's dispel a couple of these concerns. But the first concern is that people will say, well, you know, our prehistoric ancestors actually died at very young ages. So how could they have been deemed actually healthy, as I mentioned in the opening to the show? What do you say to these people?
Well, certainly a lot of people, our ancestors died, you know, in childbirth, or in labor, or as a young child, getting taken down by an animal, a massive infection for which there was maybe no antibiotics. I mean, we have a lot of things that we take for granted today in modern medicine that can keep us alive or save our lives. The reality is, if hunter-gatherer societies, they were very robust and very healthy as long as they didn't encounter major life traumas or major life tragedies. And
sure.
In this case, we see evidence of people in their 60s and 70s joining the hunt and going out on, you know, on the long hunts or the long treks. So as long as they were able to avoid some of those accidents, mishaps, traumas, and tragedies, they almost invariably lived a long, healthy, robust life.
Okay. Now, what do you say to the people? You know, let's face it, there's a very, very big following for veganism now. You know, people eating absolutely no animal products or byproducts whatsoever. And the argument is not so much that it's, you know, this is a way of life almost like a religion, because that you and I can't argue against. But it's more that it is absolutely healthier to be a vegan than it is to be any kind of a carnivore or an omnivore. And these people, some of them will even go so far as to say, we're not designed to eat meat. What do you say to these people?
I don't know where they get that. We are totally designed to eat meat. In the history of humanity, there has never been a society, a culture, a group of people that has thrived on a meatless diet, let alone, you know, that has survived on a meatless diet, let alone thrived. I mean, yes, there are periods of time in history when animal products were not available and people could survive on starchy tubers or plant matter for very short periods of time. But no society in the history of man would ever choose to go without eating meat if it were available. And that's full stop on that.
Right. Okay. So, and finally, you get the people that will say, well, okay, this is all great. That's fine and dandy. But how do we even know what prehistoric man ate? And what would your answer be for that?
I mean, we have archaeologists and paleontologists and evolutionary biologists who can look at fossil matter, look at the bones of humans, look at campsites, determine, you know, find the bones of animals that were clearly eaten, consumed for food, find cut marks, crude tool markings on the bones,
right,
showing that they've been stripped of meat. We can find the remnants of whatever type of plant matter they might have included in their diet. So we can very, I think, pretty accurately reconstruct what a typical hunter-gatherer diet would have been in a particular place in the world.
Yeah, absolutely perfect. I appreciate you clarifying those. And, you know, let's talk about, why do you think that the staples of our modern diets are, you know, the processed vegetable oils, the salt, the sugar, the milk, the grains? Why are we eating these foods? What do you think the major problem is here?
Cheap calories, that's all. Grains, as the basis of anyone's food pyramid, are only there because they are a cheap source of calories that readily convert into glucose in the bloodstream. And if you have grown up depending on these cheap calories, you have programmed your genes to expect a fresh supply of this carbohydrate source every couple of hours, and it's a self-perpetuating situation. And again, these are considered cheap calories. Although if we go to a grocery store these days and you see that a box of cereal might cost $5.50 U.S. and a, you know, loaf of bread, same thing, they're actually not that cheap anymore. But that was the way.
But we're addicted to them now.
And we are addicted to them, and we could have a whole show on the on the types of addiction that are created from some of these anti-nutrients that are in grain products.
Right, let's not ignore the fact that these foods are literally shoved down our throats by our governments, and they're put at the very top of our food pyramids, and we trust what these government officials are saying.
Yeah, I mean, there is certainly a lot of that influence where the government, which is in many cases supported by funding from special interest groups, at least the elected officials and the campaign contributions and the political action committees, and it sort of, you know, you follow the money and it trickles down. But at the base are a large number of farming people and cooperatives whose best interest it is that we consume all the grain that they produce, and hence we have subsidies, which I think are a little bit perverse now and ironic, because we're subsidizing this food that isn't even that good for us, and giving the surplus away to other countries.
Okay. So what about, you know, we understand that there's a problem with the carbohydrates. We can talk about that on the second half of the show and then get into what your program is all about. But what about some of the protein-based foods? What's your take on things like the consumption of soy and milk?
Well, soy comes from a legume. Soy is a legume. And soy milk is soy juice. I don't know why they call it milk. It's just soy is probably a very antithetical. It's probably the worst of the legumes that you can consume. There is no good reason to include soy in your diet, you know, except under conditions of extreme starvation when that's the only source of protein, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
Soy has a number of phytoestrogens. That these are plant estrogens. They have estrogenic properties that can affect development in young children, can affect, throw off hormonal regulations in both men and women, and then we could go again, do a whole series on the other anti-nutrients, the phytates that are in legumes that bind
sure.
with minerals and prevent the
And what about milk? What about the pea? I mean, because let's face it, milk is a staple of the North American diet. How does that not fit into the Paleolithic plan?
Well, it does. I actually, with the Primal Blueprint, I allow some forms of dairy for people who are not lactose intolerant.
Okay.
I suggest that if the dairy is not homogenized, not pasteurized, in other words, raw dairy, certainly butter and cream, which are basically 100% animal fat, are allowed on the Primal Blueprint. And what you do want to avoid, though, are the, again, the processed dairies, the 2%, the skim milk, those that have been homogenized and pasteurized so that they no longer resemble the natural food that they once were.
You're listening to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King. My guest today is the author of The Primal Blueprint. Get your pen, pad of paper out. We're going to be talking about the key concepts, what you absolutely need to know about living primally, as soon as we get back.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live Talk Radio. Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on 7th Wave Network.
Are you living your vital life? One that is showcasing you at your full potential? There are many issues that stand in the way of most people achieving their full potential. We will discuss these issues and how to overcome them each week on The Vital Life, Awakening Your Full Potential, with host Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross. Living The Vital Life often requires that we trust our own intuitive voice and that we view illness or life challenges as calls to action to reconnect with the deeper urges of our spirit or soul. Tune in Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the second half of Transforming Health. If you haven't done so already, please go ahead and join me on Facebook under Transforming Health with Brad King. You'll get updates for all of the guests and all of the shows that we do. You'll be able to download the shows for free. We'll even show you how to do that on iTunes for free. You know, we've all heard the saying, you are what you eat. Well, when it comes to how healthy we actually are and how our fat cells even behave, we're actually what our ancestors ate. And we have to understand that 99.99% of our genes were formed going back many thousands of years ago, at least 40,000 years ago. So things were very different then than they are today. I mean, we're all able to listen to the show right now because our ancestors had the necessary machinery, whether it was physiological or biochemical, to be able to convert any excess calories they consumed into fat that they used to weather famines. Well, we don't have famines today, or at least we shouldn't have famines in North America unless we subject ourselves to a famine, which is, by the way, called a diet. Our need for specific nutrients is embedded in our genes, and it's evolved through millions of years. In fact, our genes, which control every function in our bodies, are essentially the same as those of our early ancestors. And if we give our bodies what our genes have programmed them for, well, our genes will do their job very well and we'll stay healthy, we'll feel fantastic. But if we give our bodies unfamiliar substances or nutrients in the wrong ratios, our bodies are going to eventually eventually malfunction, which leads to things like disease. Today we're talking about how to get back to the roots of human physiology and biochemistry. What are we designed to actually eat, and what does that mean to us? And our guest is going to tell you it means that you can live a life of vibrant health and vitality, not just existence, but living. Today's guest is a health researcher, a leader in the Paleolithic health movement of or the diet of early man. He's a best-selling fitness author and a blogger, former distance runner, triathlete, Ironman. He's done absolutely everything but run for president. Please welcome the author of the mega best-selling book, The Primal Blueprint, Mark Sisson, is our guest today. Mark, in your book, you talk about the eight key concepts for living primally. I thought it would be important to get those out of the way so people have more of an idea of how they can move forward with primal living.
Yeah, the idea, by the way, behind the key concepts was simple. After the original Primal Blueprint came out, people looked at it, read the book, and sort of had this picture that I had explained about the philosophy and the science behind all of this and the thought process. But there were some questions that remained, like, okay, I get that we're supposed to eat like our ancestors, but maybe I don't quite yet get this concept that saturated fat is somehow good for us. So I took the eight most asked questions from the original book, and we reformatted those and reframed those questions into what we call key concepts. To the extent that if you can understand these key concepts and get why they are, then when I tell you what you need to do to start eating like a hunter-gatherer, you won't raise your eyebrows and go, nope, not going to happen.
Beautiful. What are they?
The key concepts. Number one, yes, you really can reprogram your genes. We've talked a little bit about that, but some people go, wait a minute, Mark, you can't reprogram your genes. Your genes are like, they're fixed. And I go, yes, they are. Your genes are like the hardware, like, you know, in a computer, but you have the ability to turn them on or off. You have the ability to program them based on your choices. So we go into that in depth in the book. Number two, the clues to optimal gene expression are found in evolution. Same thing. You and I have been talking about this for a while. That's where we get the clues. How do I turn these genes on or off? And I do it based on a format, a recipe that's been 2 million years in the making. Number three, your body prefers burning fat over carbohydrates. The whole principle of the Primal Blueprint program is to re-access, to regain that factory setting that we all had at birth to become efficient fat-burning beasts, but that somehow we screwed up. The key concept number four, grains are totally unnecessary, and we've already talked about this a little bit, that you don't need, there is no requirement in human nutrition for carbohydrate, period.
Sure.
There's certainly no requirement for grains. You can live the rest of your life without ever eating a grain and consume a vast smorgasbord, buffet style of every other food, you know, known to man, all of which that taste better than grains.
And by the way, also making you feel better than you've probably ever felt before.
And that's one of the great testimonials we get from most people. Once they cut out the grains, it's like the fog lifts.
Yep.
The weight starts to fall off. The water retention starts to go away. And when I say, you know, you can't lose more than 2 or 3 pounds of body fat in a week. It's impossible. And people come back and they go, well, wait a minute, Mark. I lost 14 pounds the first week. And what I'm suggesting is you lost some fat, but you also lost some of the water that you were retaining because of the systemic inflammation throughout your body as a result of your diet.
Right.
You know, when you sprain an ankle, Brad, you know, your ankle swells up. That's your body. That's part of the inflammatory response, keeping water in that area, keeping fluid in that area. Well, imagine that happening over your entire body when you have what we call this system-wide inflammation.
Exactly. And one of the first things that goes away when you eliminate the grains, as you mentioned, is the inflammation. So what's number five?
Saturated fat and cholesterol are not your enemy. You know, we've been so, no pun intended, ingrained into assuming that we ought to have diets that are low in saturated fat and devoid of cholesterol. And the reality is saturated fat and cholesterol are not the cause of heart disease. Oxidation and inflammation are the proximate cause of heart disease. And in many cases, this oxidation and inflammation is happening as a result of simple sugars, processed carbohydrates, an increased insulin level, and the omega-6 fatty acids that are found in all of the industrial oils.
You know what's so interesting about that? I mean, you're well aware that millions of people are on prescription medications called statins, which actually block the production of one of the most important biochemicals in the body called cholesterol, where all our sex hormones come from, by the way. And a lot of people don't realize this, but we actually did a show with a world-famous cardiologist a few months ago, and he actually went on air. I mean, this is a specialist in heart disease, and he said, nobody needs cholesterol medication because cholesterol has never been proven to be an issue when it comes to heart disease.
Exactly. And so I take a fair amount of time in this new book, The 21-Day Transformation, to explain that as a key concept. Because unless you can understand that and own that fact, you're still going to have little doubts. Oh, my goodness, I'm increasing the amount of fat in my diet. My doctor's going to hate me. My doctor's going to, you know, he's going to scold me. Well, once you understand the basis of this, you're free to make these dietary changes.
Okay. So number six.
Exercise is ineffective for weight management.
Okay. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. So what we see over time is that, you know, I'm sure you know people, Brad. You go to the gym, you see these people, they run into the gym, they get on the treadmill every 4 or 5 days a week. They're sweating it out. They're grunting it out. They got the iPod going with the tunes. They're watching the LED readout on the elliptical or the treadmill go to 400 or 500 calories, and they're thinking, wow, I just did a really cool workout. And then they go home and eat 600 calories more because this type of exercise increases your appetite.
Right.
You know, people say, well, we got a big Thanksgiving dinner. What are we going to do? You know, how will we work up an appetite? Let's go do some exercise to work up an appetite. Exercise is not a way to lose weight. It's again, sort of antithetical. So we look at exercise as movement. We look at, forget the calories, just get out there and move. Don't ever think about the calories you're burning, because we come to the next key concept, which is 80% of your body composition is determined by how you eat. 80% of you that is muscle versus the rest of you that is fat and other stuff, 80% of that is determined by how you manipulate hormones and gene expression on a meal-to-meal basis, the food
right.
you eat.
So every you're bite only as good as your last meal, hormonally speaking.
Pardon me? What's that, Brad?
You're only as good as your last meal, hormonally speaking.
That's exactly right. Every bite of food is a hormonal experience, and depending on the types of food you eat, that determines the sorts of hormones that get secreted. And we're talking primarily about insulin, but, I mean, I could go down the list. It's glucagon and leptin and ghrelin and thyroid hormone and cortisol and
right.
a lot of other players, but the key player in this is insulin. Insulin is a fat storage hormone. If you can keep your insulin levels relatively low, you will not store excess calories as body fat, and you will unlock those fat cells so the fat that's currently in them can come out and go to the muscles and be burned as fuel.
So Mark, here's another thing where people have to understand. Any program that deals with insulin, allowing insulin to do its job more efficiently, shall we say, is also, in effect, an anti-aging program, because insulin also prematurely ages the body. It causes cells to divide too rapidly and loses up their life potential. So just talk about that for a second, how a program like the Primal Blueprint can help people not just live longer, but maybe look, feel, and perform younger.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, I'll go you one better on that. It's a known fact in biology that in any given species, the individuals who secrete the least amount of insulin over a lifetime live the longest.
Right.
If you can, if your listeners can get that one concept today, that in any species, the individuals that secrete the least amount of insulin over a lifetime live the longest. Now, when we embark on a Primal Blueprint eating strategy, it is contemplated to keep insulin low, to keep it fairly low. And you're not going to shut it off. We do need some insulin to survive, that's for sure. But what's happened is, as a society, we create such a high level of insulin, and this, as you mentioned, is it basically rapidly ages us. It prompts cell division to take place more rapidly than the hunter-gatherer recipe would prefer. And the reason for that is, one of the signals that you get when food and glucose and everything else is abundant, the cell goes, oh, wow, this is so cool. We can divide. There's plenty of resources for everybody. Hey, let's just divide. because from a cell's point of view, it's all about passing the genetic material along to the next generation. But from an individual's point of view, it's like, how can I live the longest and be healthiest? So when we control insulin, and particularly when we get to the point where we can maybe skip a meal here or there and do what we call intermittent fasting, we can actually prompt the cells, instead of wanting to divide, the cell goes, well, let's see, insulin's low, there's not maybe a lot of food around for the next couple of hours, that's okay, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to repair myself.
Right.
I'm going to repair all of the damage that's currently existing in this cell, and that way I'll live longer and I won't have to divide yet. And of course, we have a limited number of cell divisions in a lifetime.
Sure.
So when cells divide more rapidly, that speeds up the aging process.
So Mark, we've only got a few seconds left here. What's the final concept? I want to leave the last part of the show where people can get the information they need to start the 21-day total body transformation.
Well, the final
what's
key concept.
What's the last concept you want to share?
Maximum fitness can be achieved in minimal time through high intensity workouts. So I'm all about saving time. I'm all about no. You know, I don't like the sacrifice and the struggle and the suffering. Tell me what the shortest workouts I can do so that I can spend the rest of my time with my family or playing or doing other stuff that I feel much more that are much more enjoyable.
So we high impact, short duration.
Short duration. I'm talking anywhere from 12 to 25 minutes twice a week for your. For the workouts, the weight workouts
yeah.
you do.
Yeah, but before people get too excited about hearing that, you have to work out the right way. Because, I mean, Mark's talking about high intensity, doing the right type of exercises. And all of that, by the way, is in the book. We're going to be talking about what do you need to know to start your total body transformation. And 3 weeks. 3 weeks out of your life. Come on. We'll be right back.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com. to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner. Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the final segment of Transforming Health. Great guest today, and just not enough time to cover everything. And, you know, I want everyone to realize before we move any further, any program that you embark on that's overly restrictive or promises ridiculous results almost overnight, it's pretty much set for failure. What you need are effective, proven, but doable strategies that you can adhere to for the rest of your life. And as long as you're willing, able, and ready to apply healthy fat-reducing protocols as opposed to weight loss strategies to your life, I can almost guarantee you that you will finally be successful at losing your body fat once and for all. But first understand that no matter how many diets, how many exercise programs, magic formulas you've tried in your life, or how many times you have failed before, understand you do have the ability to change your life forever. Please welcome back the author of the mega best-selling book, The Primal Blueprint. Mark Sisson is with us. Mark, I read somewhere, and I just want you to comment on this. According to the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, who promote the vegan diet, your book, The Primal Blueprint Cookbook, contains, you know, many meat-based recipes. They list it as one of the top five worst cookbooks of 2010, but you say this is an honor.
Oh, I loved it. My sales tripled as a result of that that distinction. I hope they do it again with my new cookbook, because I have another cookbook that came out this year. Because the reality is, the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine is a militant vegan group that, as far as I'm concerned, has no clue on what it takes to achieve optimal health, and is everybody's got their certainly has their agenda. But I just when they announced that, I put out a press release basically thanking them and telling them how thrilled I was to be named to their list. It was a lot of fun.
That's beautiful. You turned it into a real positive. But let's talk about that then. There's so many people who are scared to death to consume meat these days, but not all meat is created equal, of course. So wild meat is actually very healthy for us. So I want you to talk about the difference between commercial beef and then beef that would be found in the wild.
Right. And that's another area that we look into very, very much in depth in my book, The Primal Blueprint, 21 Day Total Body Transformation, because there is a spectrum of best choices to worst choices. And these
right.
are all about just making choices. When it comes to beef, for instance, your best choice would be to get some grass-fed beef where the cows are grazing on grass, which is their normal diet. They're converting a lot of that grass into healthy fats in their bodies, and then we're consuming those healthy fats. Conventionally grown beef, typical of the grocery stores and big box stores that we typically buy it at, these are grown. The cattle are typically given grains, which have the effect of fattening them up very rapidly. But grains are not the native diet of cows, and as a result of their the desire of the farmer to get the cows to market quicker and make them fatter as fast as they can, and obviously with profit being the main motivation, which is fine. But in the process of giving these animals the grains to which they are not accustomed to eat, these animals get sick. They create, again, they get the same sort of systemic inflammation that we do. Their fat profile, the fatty acid profile of the meat, is not as desirable as the grass-fed. They have to give them sometimes antibiotics to ward off infections.
Right.
So they're giving.
But I mean, the whole point here, Mark, is that they fatten cattle up by giving them grains and corn, which are primarily carbohydrates, which stimulate insulin, which stimulate the body's ability to store fat, and they do the exact same for us.
Precisely.
Okay.
These are the same
thing. Let's get into your 21-day total body transformation. I mean, you know, Christmas is coming up, New Year's is coming up. 3 weeks? I mean, 3 weeks is nothing out of anyone's life. What can people expect to achieve if they really follow this program for 21 days?
Well, so what we do is we hold your hand. There's 21 days of challenges, and we tell you specifically what to do every day for 21 days, so that at the end of the 21 days, you will have upregulated those enzyme systems involved in fat metabolism. You will have downregulated those systems that depend on carbohydrates. So you will have become an efficient fat-burning beast. You will become what we call fat-adapted and somewhat keto-adapted, which is a good thing. You will decrease your cravings for sugar, so you won't be always kind of looking for that sweet treat to fulfill whatever your brain is requiring of it.
So do you measure the actual grams of carbohydrates that you take in, or is it just basically, it sounds obviously like a fairly low-carbohydrate program?
It's a low-carbohydrate program, but if you do get rid of the grains, if you get rid of the pasta, the bread, the cereal, the rice, and for the first 21 days, the potatoes, and allow yourself still all the leeway to eat all the vegetables you want, green leafy vegetables and salads and things like that, you will still be at a low enough carbohydrate intake, even though those are all carbs, you'll be at a low enough carbohydrate intake that you will rev up this fat-burning machinery.
What do you have to say for the people that say, I don't eat any of that stuff, but I love fruit, and I eat, like, tons of fruit, and I can't lose body fat?
Yeah, that's one of the things. One of the issues is fruit And I'm big on all the vegetables you can consume or feel like consuming, but fruit is slightly different. Fruit contains a lot of the sugar fructose. And fructose has a unique capacity to go to the liver and be converted into triglycerides, which is another name for fats, fairly rapidly. So if your glycogen stores are full, if you're not an athlete who's working out every day, if you're mostly sedentary, it's a good bet that your glycogen stores are already full, in which case the fructose does tend to be converted into fats pretty quickly and either gets stored within the liver or gets stored in the fat deposits around your body. So if you're trying to lose weight, eating a lot of fruit is not a great way to do it. Now, I don't want to vilify fruit because if you're at your ideal body composition, you know, a couple of servings of fruit a day are going to be fine, and they'll probably provide that same satisfaction that you
but
used to get maybe from a donut or a piece of chocolate. So there is some utility to it, but again, this is one of the things that we talk about in the Primal Blueprint 21-Day Total Body Transformation.
Right, and Mark, I think it's important to mention here, I mean, since we're talking about Paleolithic nutrition, we are now consuming, on average, as humans, 6 times the amount of fructose, and I'm not even talking about the dangerous fructose, which is high fructose corn syrup. I mean, for most of history, we consumed maybe 1/2 ounce a day. We're now consuming, on average, 3 ounces of fructose a day. And when you talk about converting your fat into triglycerides, it's almost impossible for those triglycerides to escape from the cells to become energy. So that's why the fat cells continuously expand. We are completely out of time here. Mark, you've been a fantastic guest. The book is The Primal Blueprint. We were talking also about the 21-day total body transformation. Mark, I want to thank you for being my guest. I want to give out a website here. If there's another one, please share that. But I have www.primalblueprint.com. www.primalblueprint.com. Is there anything else you'd want to
mention? My main blog is Mark's Daily Apple, speaking of fruit, marksdailyapple.com. And we post a new article there every single day and have done so for the last 5 years.
Fantastic. And we will have the show, we will have the link to the show tomorrow on Facebook, Transforming Health with Brad King. And I look forward to interviewing you again, Mark. I think it's fantastic what you're doing. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Brad.
And talk about diabetes next week. We have a world specialist, MD, coming on the show talking about reversing diabetes. We'll be back then. Go out, have yourself an unbelievable week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to Transforming Health with Brad King. Be sure to join us again next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Looking forward to next week. Now, with your newfound energy, go out and make it work for you.